So we're reading the Gospel of John, please, again, and in chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20. And verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And you know the story that Peter and John run to the sepulchre, and then they go away. Verse 10, Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Behold, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. May God bless the reading of his precious word. We have listened today to a great variety of ministry. Such is the word of God. It is full and pregnant with divine truth. And we have listened today to moral truth being taught to us. And we have been instructed to little children, keep thyself from idols. And not only that, but we have seen what the flesh can do, yielding to temptation and being drawn away of our own lusts. And this morning, as we were reading, we were thinking about assembly life and the problems that can arise in assembly life. And there is always a ministry to meet the need found in the Word of God. But tonight, being the last speaker of this ministry session, I want to say to you that really, summing it all up and looking at the Christian life and the Christian cause, there is one thing that is desired in each of our lives more than anything, and that is the affection of our heart towards Christ. There is nothing can successfully be done without love to him. It is the very basic of any avenue of Christian service, that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter was restored, you remember in chapter 21, the next chapter from which we've read, you remember that he was restored again to service. Oh yes, he had denied his Lord. And we heard already today about the cock crowing when Peter had denied him thrice. But that man was graciously restored. Restored in a private way first, and then in a public way, because he had denied the Lord publicly. And three times the Lord would question Peter's devotion, and he would say, Lovest thou me more than these? You know the story well, and I'm not going to go into John 21 tonight, but let me just say to you that really the affection of our heart to Christ is absolutely basic, necessary for any avenue of service to be done for him. And I want to draw your attention to this dear woman called Mary Magdalene. What we have read tonight here is perhaps the most, in fact, it is the most important truth in all the Word of God. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, really, we are wasting our time gathering like this. And without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we could take these texts down from the wall. We need not parade the gospel message if Christ be not raised. It is absolutely fundamental, the resurrection of Christ, basic and fundamental to the whole body of Christian doctrine. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope beyond the grave, brings the purpose of God into fulfillment in a coming day. And all that we have heard about the rapture and the resurrection and the coming of the Lord for his saints, and our brother read from an epistle that teaches the coming of the Lord with his saints, all the prophetic program of God has fallen down if the Lord be not raised. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not raised, we are dead in our sins. Our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. And we have become all men most to be pitied, most miserable. And you and I will be going around the streets tonight. God only knows where we might have been. But Christ is risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. We heard about that earlier. And has given us a hope and has risen from the dead. And you and I, through the gospel, have been introduced to the living, risen Lord Jesus, the one who has power over death, the one who went down into the strong man's domain and rendered him powerless. And you and I have come to know him and trust him and love him and follow him and serve him and preach the gospel of a living, risen Christ who has power over death's dark domain. I tell you, my dear saints of God, tonight we are grateful entirely to the one who came and died upon the cross, who shed his precious blood. But the gospel is not complete there. They buried him in a tomb wherein never man had lain. And up from the grave he arose. How blessed is the news. The world around us of Christendom is perhaps seeking in some way to celebrate this. We have nothing to do with them or Christendom. For many of them, and indeed perhaps most of them, know nothing about the saving and keeping power of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of evidences, witnesses that have seen him. The proof of his resurrection is clearly taught in the scriptures of truth. And how blessed it is to look over them indeed, and to see for ourselves what the resurrection of Christ has actually brought to us. The great ramifications of his resurrection. The one who rose the third day according to the scriptures, who showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. The one who led disciples out as far as to Bethany, and he ascended up on high, And they watched him go until a cloud received him out of their sight. The one who took his rightful place at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And he is there tonight, dear saints of God. There is a man in the glory, and he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. My word, I tell you, we want to be the happiest people on God's earth with a trust in a Savior like this that has given us hope for the future. And we trust him and we follow him. I want to think about some of the things that he did. You know, we preach about his cross work and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension. We preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his virtuous life, his vicarious death, his victorious resurrection, his visible ascension, and the verity of his coming again. What a message the gospel message is. A message living and powerful. And tonight, dear soul in this meeting, if you're not saved, now is the time. Oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? As you think about the Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead, in doing so, he has annulled the power of death. The power of death is broken. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us of this. As the children were partakers of blood and flesh, he likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the might of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The conquering Christ. Death and its power is broken. Its sting is still here. 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us, when the sting of death shall finally be removed. And remember, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brethren and sisters, we have the victory. In Christ, we have the victory. I tell you, it's a tremendous truth to touch, basic and fundamental to the whole body of Christian doctrine. So the power of death is broken, and he has given us a hope beyond the grave. You and I can look forward now, because we know him, to heaven as our home. That day we trusted him, Christ became our Savior, God became our Father, and heaven became our eternal home. And we await, as we have heard, the soon coming of the Savior to take us to the Father's house. How lovely and how blessed and how joyful the anticipation of the any moment return of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means when he rose that our Lord has no successor, because he is not dead, he is alive. I met some people called Baha'i in an exhibition, and they had a stall, and they gave me this leaflet as I passed. I looked at it, stopped, and said, who is this? This is the present prophet of God. Oh, the present prophet I've got of God, I said. Impossible. Oh yes, this is the present prophet of God, Baha'i. I says, my dear friend, you are sadly delusioned. What do you think about Christ? Oh, they said, he was a prophet. but he's dead. Oh, I said, dear, dear me, have we got a Bible here in the stall? No Bible. I took a little Bible out of my pocket and read from Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, God speaking in his Son. God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, and so on. And of course, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And in resurrection the Lord Jesus Christ, how blessed to understand this. He is not dead. I said to him, who was the last prophet that you spoke about? And he said, well, you see, the prophets die and another one comes up. I says, oh dear, dear, listen, our Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. And he is not dead, he is alive. I am he that became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I tell you, my dear saints of God, this ought to cheer your heart. Want you to carry home with you the joyfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and all the blessings that have accrued to God and to us because of his mighty resurrection power. It means he has no successor. In Hebrews, you remember the priesthood. He's greater than angels, greater than Moses. He's greater than Joshua. He's greater than the priesthood. You see, they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man hath an unchangeable priesthood. Ah, dear saints of God, how blessed to understand, because of his resurrection, he has no successor, for he is not dead, he is alive. It means that we can preach a gospel of Jesus and the resurrection. This is the message that turned the world upside down in the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus and the resurrection, that caught the interest of the philosophers of the day. To hear that one had died was no news, that was common. But to hear that one had risen from the dead, why, we must look into this matter. And these Epicureans and the Stoics in Acts chapter 17 brought Paul up to Mars Hill and questioned him about Jesus and the resurrection. How blessed to understand all this. You see, the greatest fear a man has is death. Death that is inescapable. Death that is unavoidable. We must all needs die. And there's water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. And men fear death. And they ought to fear death, because the resurrection of Christ reminds us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So the resurrection of Christ proves that there is a judge and a judgment ahead of all men. And so men ought to fear when they hear the gospel. And men who perhaps tonight are celebrating so-called Easter, that pagan thing, and the god Isis that came from Babylon, and as they celebrate that, they ought to really be fearing, because Christ is risen, and it is appointed unto every man to die. And the judgment of men, of sinners, is assured by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the whole program of God, from eternity to eternity, swivels on the anvil of Calvary. But not only the cross, not only his burial, but his glorious resurrection. And all will come to fulfillment from eternity to eternity, because Christ has been raised from the dead. It means not only the bodily resurrection of our Lord, but the bodily ascension too. And it means that there is in the glory a man. The man in the glory, my dear saints of God, I hope this touches your heart. He has taken manhood back into the glory, and there sits at God's right hand today a man. And he is the forerunner, as we heard. And he's the chief leader of our salvation. And he is there in the presence of God for us. You see, the resurrection of Christ means that he is there in the glory. And because he is there, as we heard already today, we too are guaranteed to be there as well. And how blessed that is to our souls. But the man in the glory is also a great high priest. And the priesthood of Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, he is there in the glory as a great high priest. How did he get there? He got there because he was raised from the dead, ascended on high, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And he is there as a great high priest. My dear saints of God, what does that mean to you tonight, to know that the Lord Jesus is a high priest? Why, he bears us upon his heart. Every dear saint of God is upon his heart. And we are born upon his shoulders. What shoulders he has! Strong and powerful shoulders. And he carries every saint of God in his affections and upon his heart. That's what the breastplate spoke of. All the saints were on the heart of the high priest and on the shoulders. And we are there tonight. Each of us, every one of us, has a high priest to ourselves. I hope you understand that. I hope you enjoy that, to know that you are carried and borne by the man at God's right hand, who is a great high priest. Not only that, but it means, because he is raised from the dead, that the truth we have heard of today, the rapture of the church, the any moment return of the Lord, is assured. Absolutely assured. Because he is not dead, he is alive. And one day soon, we're going to see him, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to be like him, and what a gathering of the ransom indeed that will be. Not only does it assure the rapture, but we are hearing today about the manifestation. It assures the manifestation. God will yet vindicate the death of his Son, and the resurrection of, and the rejection of his Son. And one day he will come with his saints. Out there in that white horse in Revelation chapter 19. And the battle of Armageddon, that chapter ends with a gory sight indeed, as the fowls of the air gorge themselves with the flesh of the slain. He will purge the scene. He must purge the scene. Cast the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire. Set up the throne of his glory and judge the living nations. Separate the sheep from the goats, and the goats into eternal burnings, and the sheep into the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And says 1 Corinthians 15, he shall reign. No doubt about it. He shall reign. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. The risen Christ is destined for the throne, and his resurrection guarantees that he will sit upon the throne of his father David, of which we've been hearing, and the increase of his government and power there shall be no end. How blessed this is it not? I tell you, this is something to be enjoyed, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means also, of course, that the judgment seat of Christ for the saints is guaranteed. As the judgment of the great white throne is absolutely certain, for he who died upon the cross will sit upon that throne. And the throne of his glory is absolutely guaranteed, as he will judge the living nations. Paul speaks about that in Acts chapter 17, does he not? He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. How blessed. What a truth this is. I hope you're enjoying all the ramifications and blessings that have accrued to us because of his mighty conquering power over death's dark domain. Well now, oh dear, it's time up. Just about. You know, he appeared 14 times when he rose from the dead. 14 times. 11 times before he ascended. And 3 times after he ascended. After he ascended, he appeared to the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who looked up as the stones rained upon him and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. How blessed to go out with a vision of Christ. And Paul saw him on the Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. Oh, he saw him. He saw him as one born out of due time. To be an apostle, he would need to have seen him. And he saw him. And John vanished on the Isle of Patmos. Why, he saw him too, as he appeared to him on the Isle of Patmos. Yes, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. The devotion of this dear woman. I often think about her dark past. She was possessed by 7 demons. You know, my brethren, some of you like to hear testimonies. I would say about testimonies, please spare us from the details of your dark past. We don't want to hear about your sins or your dark past. God has been pleased to forgive them. And God has been pleased to say, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more against you forever. Why should we raise them? This woman here, all that is said of her, out of whom the Lord cast 7 demons. That's all. But it must have been a dark past. She had a dark present because the Savior she loved and adored, that had won her heart, that had delivered her, the captive of 7 demons, had been taken away he died. He had been laid in the tomb, a tomb where another man had lain, Joseph's new tomb. And while it was yet dark, on the first day of the week, she went out to the sepulchre and found the stone rolled away. And you know what she said to the disciples? They've taken away the Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. But when they went back, and she was left alone to face the angel that appeared, even the angel held no thrill for this dear woman. She turned from the angel, and saw the Lord, supposing him to be the gardener. There was only one person that had occupied the affection of her heart. Christ had become the all-absorbing passion of her soul. And to the angels she said, they said, "Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Ah, she says, "They have taken away my Lord." To the disciples, it was the Lord. To the angels, it was my Lord. And you know, he just said one word from Christ was enough. One word was enough. Blessed confirmation of his resurrection. Mary, Rabboni. My, she would have carried him away. She longed to embrace him. But he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brethren, and say to them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God." And you know, she just did what she was told. My brethren, is that what you're doing? Think of the many things we've heard in the ministry that he's asking us to do. Are we doing them? Is he the all-absorbing passion of her heart? If he is, we'll have no difficulty in doing what he says. Has your heart been won by Christ? Is he the all-absorbing passion of your soul? Like this dear woman, I haven't time to speak of the new relationship established, but what a message it is. Don't hold me back, Mary. I need to go. I need to return that the Spirit might come and indwell. And when that happens, Mary, I'll be with you all the way. You can have me all to yourself every day, as the saints of God have in the present church age, the presence of Christ who has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Brethren, I could speak about him all night. Is he not worth speaking about? Is he not worth bowing down and owning as your sovereign Lord? Dear young folks, give him your heart. Yield to him your life. To serve the greatest of all masters, it will never ever disappoint you. Thank you for your courtesy in having me here. It was lovely to see you all again, meet old friends, and to see that we're still going on. Sometimes faint, yet pursuing. But thank the Lord, we're going on and we're going home. And that might even yet be today.